praise the Lord this morning. Sorry, I was a little slow in coming out. I was reading and I didn't hear him call for me. So, amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, this is the first Sunday, Lord, of the new year. I pray, dear God, that may you help me to yield to you that what you have, Lord, on that you want to speak to us today, that it will come forth clearly. Would be a help, Lord. Would be, directing and leading us, Lord, and encouraging. I pray, dear God, to bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. I want to read verse 7 through 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. What I would like to, if I give a subject or a subject line for this morning, every seed cometh to maturity. Every seed cometh to maturity. And it said, in due season we'll reap. Do not be weary in well-doing. And I look at, I was reading this morning the message Brother Branham had preached in 1962. Brother Branham was talking about, we know we're at the end time. He said about 15 minutes till is what he was saying. And he said, we're looking at how that everything has happened in the world. We know, he said, anybody of any that has any intellect at all would know we're at the end time. And I looked at that was 1962, and here we are standing the first Sunday of 2016. And I thought of all the years that I remember back over in my life of the message. There's been some here, obviously, been in the message longer than I have. There's some here that hasn't been. From the age of about 7, from then on, I was raised in the message. And I was an only child, so a lot of times people would come to visit the house, come and talk to my dad, while I'd just be sitting off on the sideline just listening. And because if they didn't have any kids to come along to play, then I had nothing to do. And so sometimes I'd sneak into the living room, and there was a rocking chair that Mom and had, one of them early American-style rocking chairs, and I'd hide behind that rocking chair. It kind of separated dining room from the dining room. I could slip in and get behind that rocking chair. And I can remember sitting behind that rocking chair and listening to my dad talk and with the brothers that come to visit. And that's in that very spot is where I first fell in love with the brothers from Honduras, sitting there behind one of them sitting in the rocking chair, just listening to him talk. Couldn't understand a word he said, but I fell in love with him. And I remember the church we went to. We had a fellowship. Our fellowship hall was in. They had an upstairs, and our fellowship hall was in the upstairs. And when we would go up there, why There were some times there'd be kids I was running around and played with, but there would be times my dad would stay longer and other families would start leaving and I'd end up being the last kid there. And so I'd just go over there and quietly slip into a chair at the table where the men were sitting and talking. And I remember all those things. I remember the things. I remember one time slipping up into a chair and hearing them talk about the third pool and what would it be and how would it be and what each one giving their opinion, what they thought it was. That, goodness, that's been so many years ago, and I wonder even how I remember it. If I don't write down a list, if Mina sends me to the grocery store or to Walmart, if I don't write down a list, I'll tend to forget something. But I can remember something back that far. I guess that's a sign of getting old, isn't it?
Amen.
You remember things of your childhood real clear, but things right now you forget real easy. But I remember those things and remember how that the brothers talked about us being so close to the coming of the Lord and how things couldn't go much longer. And I look at all these years later, I remember when I was about 10 years old, I asked my dad for it. I said what I wanted was a 10-speed bicycle. And my dad told me, said, on your 13th birthday, I'll buy you a 10-speed bicycle. And I remember thinking as I walked away, he just told me that because he knows the Lord's coming before I turn 13. You know? And I was surprised when my 13th birthday rolled around and I got that 10-speed bicycle. My dad was always a man of his word. If he told me he's going to do something, he always did it. And whether it was if he told me he was going to whip me or whether he told me he was going to get something, he always kept his word. And he never lied to me, ever. My dad never lied to me. And I'll tell you something, Don't ever, that's why Brother Branham said, don't teach them about Santa Claus and things like that. So you're lying to them. Said, don't ever lie to your children. He said, if you lie to them, then they'll think maybe you made something up about Jesus Christ. And, and I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier for children to learn to lie than it is for them to learn to tell the truth. The Bible says we come into the world speaking lies. And I'll tell you what, they might not be very good lies, but they get practice, especially if they're around adults that tell lies, and they begin to learn that, and it becomes second nature where they can't hardly even tell the truth. But I thought on those things and thought, here we are, 2016. And the reason I got to thinking on that was because I was thinking about how close we are to the end now. And I was thinking about the things that was happening in world events. And I was thinking about all the terrorist acts that went on, especially over this last year. But there's been terrorist acts that has been going on for several years now. And I guess over a decade more. But it seemed like over the last year or so, they really have stepped up. We hear more and more and more about the terrorist acts. And I was wondering about it on my way into church this morning, and I was wondering, what is the one thing? Is there any one thing or any two things that connects all those terrorist acts together? And, of course, y'all probably think of one thing, which I'm not going to mention, because I know this is going out on the internet. but the other thing I thought of is, I thought about the terrorist acts that were happening in England, the terrorist acts in France, the terrorist acts that were happening in Europe. And one of the things I thought was that, now maybe not so much as us in Great Britain, but all of them in some way either support Israel or are friendly with Israel. And I guess the other thing is we're infidels. Well, I did slip something in there after all, didn't I? But, you know, but Israel, that's one of the key things right there, is that those nations are either allies of or friendly to Israel. And the one thing that these terrorists hate is Israel. And we say, well, why do they hate Israel? Friends, Israel's like the little brother that's always blessed of God. They're all related if you take it back far enough. But Israel is blessed of God. And, you know, it kind of gets next to them that Israel's so blessed, and yet in comparison, Israel's so small. Israel's so small in comparison to them, and yet they're so blessed, and Israel's mighty. Now, they might hate them, but they also kind of fear them. And that's why they think, well, besides just going straight ahead and trying to wipe out Israel, what do we got to do? Let's start terrorizing any of their allies and any of their friends. And I look at that and I think, well, watching Israel and watching how those things are shaping up, why, if Brother Branham said it back in 62, how close he thought it was to the coming of the Lord, I thought, how much more closer now? And then I thought, you know, that after hearing those things all these years, that sometimes people grow weary. Say, well, I've been hearing that my whole life. Maybe a young person would say, well, I've been hearing about us being close to the coming of the Lord my whole life. Well, I got two things to say to that. And the first one is, if you're a young person, a teenager, your whole life hadn't been but just a flick yet. It ain't been nothing. The whole life of a teenager, you know, teenager thinks that they've reached about the age of 15. They think, man, they've lived a long time. And every one of us in here at one time or another was 15 and old. And you hear young people hear them laugh, that's because they know what I'm talking about. They used to be 15 one time, and they remember, you know, by the time you get 18, you think you know it all. Think you know it all. Think you know more than mom and dad. And God bless you, brother. Yeah, we've been there. And as you get a little bit older, and then you begin to realize that something took place. Your parents started learning more, I guess, and got smarter. Well, they just used to not know nothing, you know. We think a lot of times when we're teenagers, we always think that older people could not possibly understand what we're feeling or going through. We figure, well, people my age, they'll understand more. No, what people your own age understand more is rebellion. And it's not they understand it more, it's just they're living it. And that's your common ground, living rebellion. And I'm not saying all teenagers are rebellious. Not all teenagers turn out that way, praise God. And I'm thankful not all teenagers do turn out like that. I'm glad that I didn't have all my teenagers turn out like I did when I was a teen, you know. I look back and I feel sorry for my mom and dad, because I figured they didn't have to do nothing to deserve. I'll speak for myself. I'll let my brother speak for himself, but I don't figure they done anything to deserve some of the stuff I put them through. And I didn't stop. Just when I was a teen, I kept on for a little while, you know. I, you know, when I was going away to the Desert Shield and that, why, my mom and dad was real tore up. And I felt like I was tore up, but now that I've got older and had children, you know, that's got older, I realize that the difference. I realized what it'd be like to have been in their shoes, having your son go off, and they told me later how mom never liked to fly on a plane, and how dad got her on the plane to come over to Germany was he told her, said, this might be your last chance to see your son on this side. And that's how he got her to get on a plane and fly all the way over to Germany. But speaking about how that we're that much closer to the end. And it said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's not grow weary. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, maybe perhaps you've heard that scripture used constantly to in a way to try to bring some correction. I know I did. A lot heard that used in a way to bring correction. Well, whatever you sow, you're going to reap it now. And I remember my mamma, she was, I remember her more than anybody in my life saying that to me. And my mamma Browning, and she'd say, if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap a whirlwind, she'd say. But you know, it's every seed. You know, the Bible says, let every seed bring forth of its own kind. Didn't it say that in Genesis? It said every seed would bring forth of its own kind. And what's the same thing here? Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he reap. Well, if the seed can only bring forth what it is, the seed that's sowed. So if you're sowing good seed to the Spirit, then you're going to reap of the Spirit, the Bible says. If you're sowing bad things to the flesh, then you're going to reap of the flesh. Isn't that what we read? It said, but if we sow to the Spirit, why, we'll reap life everlasting. Job said that if you plow iniquity and sow wickedness, you're going to reap the same. It says in Proverbs, he that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. I look at this church, at this assembly, and I see the seeds of the word that's been sown here. And I'm not saying that to lift myself up. I'll tell you humbly, when it comes my time to stand before him, I ought to say, I've done the best I could. That's what I've tried to do, the best I could. And I look at the word that's been sowed, and I'll tell you what, I see a much different church than what I saw when I come here and visited the first time. First time I come here and visited was Labor Day of 1998. And I remember I preached the morning service, and that we went out to eat. There was a steakhouse up here. Its thing caught fire here not long ago, and nothing seemed like could last in that place. But there was a steakhouse used to be up there on 46, and we ate there. And I remember Sister Doris and her girls, her three girls, being there with us. And Brother Phil was there. I don't remember everybody was there, but I do remember some of them that was there. And you say, why did you remember them? Well, for some reason or another, they stood out to me at the time. And but we ate, and then after we ate, while we come back here to the church, and they come back to the church of fellowship, we went, I think, to the room for a little bit. And then I come back over here, and I remember coming up into that study, used to be right over here, where you first came in. It's where the office used to be. And I was in there, and I was just praying, seeking the Lord for what he would have me to preach that evening. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is the church I've been telling you about. And I referred to the Holy Spirit, the Lord giving me a dream, telling me that he was sending me to pastor a church. And then the Lord gave me scriptures to tell me about the church, which Brother Phil read those in October, the one scripture. And I don't say this to be funny. I'm just telling you the truth. When the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I said, Lord, please no. I said, Lord, this is the most depressing church I think I've ever stepped into. And I'll tell you something, it hasn't been because of me. I'm not the one who's made the difference. It's you. You're who's made the difference because allowing the word to make the difference in you, you've made the difference in the atmosphere of this church. I have visiting ministers come here to visit, and Brother Darrell Ward says, I always love preaching to your church. And most of the time, Brother Darrell comes on Thursday when not everybody can make it out, and he's usually just preaching to our skeleton crew on Thursday. But he says, I always love preaching to your people. He said that I always love preaching to them. Said they're a real easy group to preach to. Brother Joel Forney talks about how he loves preaching here. You know, we're not a big group, but here's the difference. You know, sometimes people, if they don't know what it's like, they'll think, well, preachers like preaching in big churches. But that ain't so. The numbers have nothing to do with it. The numbers have nothing to do with it. What it has to do with it is the liberty of the Spirit. You could have a church full of 700 people, but if there was no liberty of the Spirit, I can tell you I wouldn't enjoy preaching there. We've got, there's been times we've went through things where we had corners to turn, and there's been some times when I've dreaded coming to this pulpit. And I remember times I used to think, Lord, ain't you going to give me anything else to preach on? It seemed like I just, no matter what title I take, I keep preaching on the same stuff. And I dread coming to preach it again, thinking people will be saying, well, here he goes again. You know. But we've really grown. And I can say this over the past couple of years or so, we have really grown. I think we've grown more over the past couple of years or so than what we have over all the 17 years I've been here. And you say, well, why is that? Because it's in due season. It's in due season. We look at the season that it is. And I'll tell you something, and I may say this to those of age here this morning, when you see all these young people beginning to have more and more and more a part in this assembly and doing more things, and you see the Lord moving in their lives, well, I'd ought to let you know, here there are young people starting to come to maturity in the Lord. I tell you what, I don't want to be acting childish when some of those younger than me are acting mature. If there's some younger than me is acting more mature, then something's wrong. I've been telling you how long I've been around the message, how long I've been in it, how long I've known these things. Well, if my maturity can't match some of that, then that's a shame. But I'll tell you this, I ain't reached perfection yet, so don't get your eyes on me. I ain't reached perfection. I'm still learning. I'm still growing in the Lord. And I I still have things to learn. I told my wife the other night, I said, we're going through a test right now. And I said, I'll tell you what, I want to have the right attitude. I want to have the right kind of love. I want to have the right spirit about it. I said, because I don't never want to face this one again. And that, you know, sometimes you're going through things, you know, the Bible says love them that persecute you. I'm going to tell you what, that ain't easy to do. Love them that said, do good unto them, speak evil of you. Boy, that is not easy to do. Because this flesh, this flesh we're living in, we all know it's just rotten flesh. And this old flesh, boy, it wants to rise up. And it wants to get paybacks. This old flesh wants to rise up and get restitution. You know, but there's got to be something on the inside. You know, and maybe sometimes you're going through something and you say, well, I'll tell you what, something's happened and certain person, boy, they've just got me so mad I don't even feel Christian right now. Well, you know what? Get before the Lord until you do again. Keep praying. Say, well, I went several days this way. Well, just keep praying. Just keep praying. Keep holding on. Because I'll tell you what, only Christians is going this rapture. And the thing is, the only thing, and now listen to this now. He said, the angel told him, said, the only thing that can go in here is perfect love. So that's the only thing can enter in here is perfect love. Now I'll tell you something, friends. The love, I know I got the love of God in me, but I know sometimes this old flesh gets in the way. And I know that love is still being perfected in me. I know I wouldn't stand here this morning and try to tell you I got it all right now. Because I don't. I don't think not one of us here does, but we all, that's why we're still here. If we all had it perfect, well, rapture, go, we'd be gone, wouldn't we? You know, some was giving testimony on Thursday night about how the devil, you know, tries to work on them, to tell them they're not, one of them, I'll just kind of paraphrase a bit, or that they're not part of it, or they're going to fail again. When I first came here, within the first 5 years, boy, the devil started really bothering me, plaguing me, my mind. Every time I'd hear somebody from somewhere else tell me, oh yeah, I know about Dixon, so-and-so was there, and boy, they sure made a mess of things, you know. And after a while, the devil began to tell me, he said, everybody's been there has failed. Ain't never been a success there yet. He said, and you're going to fail too. And I was on the phone with Brother Tim Pruitt and talking to him. And while I was talking to him, I told him, I said, Brother Tim, I said, boy, the devil just keeps hammering me with this. And the reason I called him is because I being acquainted with him and had a lot of respect for him and knowing that he had, he knowed about this group and this place here and that he knew the former pastor and things. And so I was talking to him and he told me, he said, well, Brother Jerry, as long as the devil's telling you, that's one sure sign that you ain't done it yet, you know. And, you're a child of God. You might look at your life and say, well, boy, I'm just not, I don't feel like I'm putting out there what I should be putting out. But the thing about it is, let me tell you something. If you say, well, every, you know, I've had people say, every group's got three kinds of believers. Well, I'm only talking to one kind this morning. You're a child of God. In your right season, then it'll be producing. Friends, The thing is, sometimes we don't even realize when the fruits are being produced through us, because it ain't, there isn't no filling to it. Apple tree don't have to struggle to put out apples. Apples just come out because it's an apple tree. Sheep don't feel itself producing wool. Anybody here feel their hair grow? Sheep just produces it. You're producing fruits of the Spirit. You say, well, I ain't felt nothing. You ain't going to feel nothing. You can't feel your hair growing. You're not going to feel yourself producing other things either. But if you get to look around, I remember one time, you know, I still walk. I'm still in this flesh. And, you know, I can, I've got a whole, I'll tell you this, this is a testimony. I've got a whole lot better over the past couple of years than I've been in my life about my temper. And I can get real defensive over my family. Y'all don't know what that's like, do you? And, but I remember when I hadn't been out of the service too awful long, and back then, I tell you what now, I really had trouble with my temper. And I went to meet some brothers for breakfast. We was getting together for breakfast and fellowship. And it was on a Saturday morning, and so we all kind of drove in. Some lived different places. We all kind of drove into kind of like a central place where we can meet up, have breakfast, and fellowship together. That wouldn't be a bad idea to do here sometime. And when I got over there, my dad come in, and he said, hey, something coming for you in the mail. And he handed it to me. I opened it up. And it was a check from the United States Army. And I said, what in the world is this? Dad said, don't ask, just cash it. You know. And I said, well, I didn't know this was coming to me, but I guess, you know, when they got going through their records, I don't know, they didn't really send me a letter to explain what it was, which is, that's typical. You know. They just sent me the check. Well, I thought, well, that's really nice, you know. I was kind of happy about getting that check. And then my father-in-law had rode with me over there, and so we was driving back home, and it was probably about 20 miles at least back to where we lived, and 20, 25 miles, something like that. We was driving back. I was on the interstate. And a tire blew out on me. You ever had a tire blow out on the interstate? Boy, I tell you what. You know, this is in Ohio, so speed limit wasn't 70, you know. But I think maybe the speed limit, I don't know what it was now, if it was 55 or 65 or whatever it was. But that tire, one of the rear tires went out. It was a good thing it was a rear tire, because I had enough control to get that car over over on the shoulder, you know. And I got out and walked around there and saw that tire it was blowing. And I knew I was going to have to get that spare out. And when I saw that tire, I started jumping up and down on the side of that interstate. And I was saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Because I knew my tires was wore out. And I'd been praying, Lord, please keep these tires going until I get enough money to replace them. Boy, when I saw that tire blowing out, you know, it wasn't no surprise to me. I knew them tires was worn out. But I started jumping up and down and shouting. I wasn't shouting because I had the money. I wasn't shouting because the tires had lasted till I got the money. I was shouting because I didn't get out and start kicking the fire out of the car. It was a time I'd have got out, and I'd have probably injured myself kicking that tire saying, what in the world you go out on me for? Boy, I already had designs on that money. You know, but I didn't, and that got me excited. Because I didn't lose my temper at it. And you know what? We changed, got that spare on, I went on older Firestone, and you know what? I had just enough money to buy 4 new tires and put on that car. And you know what? The Lord just answers prayer like that. Some people say, I don't know how you live the way you live, not knowing what's going to be. That's how I've always lived. I don't know another way. The Lord's blessed me since I've been here. I've been a lot more blessed than I've ever been in my life. And the Lord blessed you people, and you all bless me in return, and the Lord takes care of us good here. And I'm thankful for that. I never owned a home until I moved here. First time I got a car without a co-signer was right before I came here. I'd bought a truck, and the reason I got it because it only cost me $9,000. So, you know, I told him I ain't signing if you tell me I got to have a co-signer. I said, I'll walk right out of here. I won't even buy that thing. And he said, no, I think we can do it. I said, well, you better, or otherwise you ain't selling me a truck today. You know, and I thought I'd just turn the tables on them. You know, they usually say, well, I guess you ain't going to be able to get it unless you get a co-signer. So I thought I'd just start off and turn the table on them and say, I ain't signing if you tell me I got to have one. I won't go get one. You'll lose a sale. I've lived down here. I've bought a few cars since I've lived here and that, and I've never had to have, me and my wife's always been able to sign. We ain't never needed somebody to come and back us up on it. That's the grace of God, and I'm thankful for that. And I know when you're first starting out, it's hard. I remember trying to get credit one time, and the person told me, said, sorry, we can't extend credit to you. And I said, why not? He said, because you ain't got enough credit. And I said, that don't make no sense. I said, if somebody don't give me some, I ain't never going to have some. You know, but so I know what it's like to be young and trying to get established and that. But I'll tell you what, Will sitting up here 13 years old, and we've got credit cards for him. Not that we have them. They've come in the mail is what I mean. We didn't get him. What I'm saying is they've come in the mail. I'm just showing you just how that is. And they'll say, pre-approved. But I don't know. Don't get trapped by that stuff, young people. Because them things, boy, they'll get you in a world of hurt, boy. And you'll be forever getting out from underneath it. But when I'm talking about getting credit, I'm talking about buying a car, buying a house. I'm not talking about getting a credit card. Sometimes I guess you got to have something like that to get started. But if you don't have no equity in them credit cards, why, they ain't going to do you no good to have them. So you're better off not even having them then. How'd we get on that? I see how this church has grown, and how the reason the church has grown in the Lord the way it has is because of the word that's been sowed here. Now, I look back over the years, and I've seen seed sown of all kinds of things around this message, and it's still going on yet today. False doctrines and men's ideas of things. And it's still happening today. And one of the things I've seen in common with those, I was talking about in common with terrorists at to tax earlier, but what I see in common amongst all these other seeds other than the word being sowed is that every one of them brings discord among brethren. Every one of them brings discord among brethren. When it was sold out there, you know, seven thunders, the thunder group, why, what did it do? Separated brothers. When there was them running out there with the message of two souls, now what did it do? Separate brethren. There's been those that's running around preaching that we're already in the millennium. I got a letter from Brother Prakash. I need to bring it and post it up here. I don't know how many of you remember him, Brother Prakash from India. And he ain't been by here in a while, and I kind of hope this next year when he comes, I'm going to write him, because I kind of, and if I got to, do whatever I got to get him to come by here, because not only is he bless y'all, but he is a great cook. And we get to eat all that Indian food while he stays with us, you know. And but he sent a letter. But I was thinking about something he said when a brother tried to tell him that we was in the millennium. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, let's go down to zoo and you climb in the cage with Mr. Lion. He said, he said, then we'll find out whether you're in the millennium or not. He said, we'll find out real quick. He said, because the Bible said the lion will lay down by the lamb. And but see all these things, and they sow, what they end up doing is sowing discord among brethren. And it ain't just false doctrine sometimes. Sometimes it's people that they don't get themselves where they need to be with God. You know, somebody going around saying, I don't have the Holy Ghost, and they talk about everybody that's coming and going, well, seems to me like they're the ones that ain't got the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible said one thing that God hates is a lying tongue and a false witness that speaketh lies. You know, feet that swift run into mischief. There's some people just... You know what? You can't talk to them without them saying something bad about somebody. And I know we need to know those who labor among us. But you know what? The thing is, we don't got to, once we know, we don't got to keep carrying on about it. There was a brother I was wanting to have come and preach for us some years ago. And I'd heard him preach a few times. Boy, he was a preacher. He could really preach. And I kept telling my wife, I want to get that brother and have him come by here. Now, I'm not going to say his name this morning. But it never seemed to materialize, never seemed to happen. Because even though I want to have somebody come, I still got to wait for God to lay it on my heart. Because God will lay it on my heart, then I know it'll be all right, and I also know it'll be the right time, the right season for it. And so I just never could get a clear leading from the Lord to go ahead and set up and have his brother come. Then somebody called me, another preacher friend of mine called me and said, brother, have you heard? And I said, about so-and-so. I said, no, what? Said, just happened. Said, a woman in his church stood up and two of them got in a fight in the church. Two women that wasn't his wife, besides his wife, got in a fight in church because each one of them was saying that he belonged to her. There was his wife sitting there. And he was having affairs with other women in his church. No, he wasn't there. It wasn't there. He was over in the Carolinas. But You know, and I thought, well, Lord, after I got off the phone, I prayed and I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Because the Lord's looking out over this pulpit. Now, I don't need to go on just to talking about that man or whatever else, but I can tell you this. If some other church, if I heard some other pastor or something said, I was thinking to have brother so-and-so come, I'd say, brother, here's something you need to consider. You know, but I've known there was a preacher that went around preaching to different places and telling people his sister needed an operation and collecting money, and he collected that money, wouldn't have had a sex change. But I ain't never told nobody, you know, who that was. And it ain't something that, you know, that you just, there's all kinds of stuff that happens. But I'll tell you this, friends. I've had people say, well, all this stuff you're talking about happened, it happened around the message. Go talk to somebody that's in some other denomination or something and see if there ain't been some kind of crazy stuff that's went on within them. There has been. Sure. Everywhere that you can find where it looks like God's moving, the devil is always around trying to run out a counterfeit. And you know what? In the days of Jesus, when he came, he was not the only one that come. There was many that came saying they was the Messiah. That he speaks about, there was one that come and gathered a bunch of people and took them off out in the desert and they all died. Right? Don't want to say it in the Bible? Sure. There's always stuff like that going on. In the Garden of Eden, two people. Huh? Small church. Small congregation. I don't know about you. This is my opinion. I believe the serpent attended church. I do, because he knew the word of God. He said, hath God not said that you could eat of every tree of the garden? You know, and so he started sowing seeds of discord against the pastor, you know, who just happened to be Eve's husband. And see, there was a small church, but there was a devil at work and trying to bring, you know, sow some discord there. And that was in the perfect garden. That was with man standing in perfection. A woman standing in perfection. Sure. Amen. Yes, sir. Standing there, there wasn't no death. There wasn't no age, old age homes. There wasn't nothing like that. First seed to come by a woman. Eve. Job said, man born of a woman's a few days and full of sorrow, full of trouble. First come by woman. But you know what? Job looked, and Job saw that seed. Remember Job asking the question, goes into the ground and dies, does it come up again? Remember Job asking that question. Does it come up again? And, you know, Job wasn't necessarily that Job was real concerned about the plant life. But Job was concerned about man. He was concerned about, here he had lost his family to death. And Job looked and thought, well, you know, the way things look, I ain't going to be around too long, maybe. Maybe he thought that. But Job was wondering, when we die, Is there a coming back? And then God revealed the word to Job. Job said, "My Redeemer liveth, and shall one day stand upon this earth. And though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Job got a revelation of the resurrection, that man would live again. Job wondered, would they just be there, not even know when their sons wept over them, not even know when their family was weeping because they were gone, would they never rise again? Why was Job wondering that? Because he said, "See, man born of a woman's a few days." Hallelujah. Moses said that our life is like a blade of grass. It cometh up, but soon withereth. But there was a perfect seed that was to come. And that seed, when it came, it didn't come by woman. It came by man. By spoken word. Said, "You shall conceive, and that holy thing which you conceive will be called the Son of God." While she was a virgin, now what if Mary would have been like, "Well, now hold on now, I'm going to have to go see a doctor and see if a doctor can explain to me how this is going to happen, me being a virgin." Brother Bram said it never happened if it's how Mary had been. But Mary wasn't. You remember we read here the last couple of Sundays how Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." I'll tell you what, that's how this end time bride is. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Hallelujah. Eve. Eve listened to the serpent. What if she'd have just said like Mary, "Be it unto me according to thy word"? Spoken word would have been born right there. I wanted to read this to you. It's in "Why We're Not a Denomination," 1958. Brother Ram says, "It cometh forth," he said, hold on, he's talking about that picture that God had of us, and he said, "Every picture God saw from the foundation of the world materializes. It come forth out of the woman as he said it would. The next time it came forth from God." See? That's why I wanted to read this to you, so I got it right. "It come that time by woman. It come this time by man." See? "It came that time by sexual desire. It come this time by the spoken word of God." So the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Amen. Hallelujah. This word, friends, it don't sow discord. It brings brothers together. It brings brothers and sisters together. Now, does it bring separation? Bringing separation is a complete different thing than sowing discord. It isn't that the word brings the separation. It's that man is on a free moral agency. And man can choose. He's got a right to choose. And there are people that depend on their choice separate themselves from you. Because if you choose the word and they choose something else, then there's going to be a separation, a parting of ways. I got a few people that I call friends. We're friendly to one another. We communicate. There's some I've met from, I know one young man down in Columbia, and he and I, we text back and forth every once in a while and that, and he's bought a couple of pups off of me, and we stay in contact, and he'll, if he finds somebody wanting a pup, why, he always tells me about him and hooks me up with him, you know. And he brought his dad when he come up to get these two pups. He had got two pups from me, and they died. And it wasn't my fault that they died, but I felt so bad about him. I told him, I said, come up here. I got a litter coming. I said, when that litter comes, you come up here, I'll give you two pups. Because I just felt so bad about how he felt when them pups died. I knew what that's like, and I ain't trying to make money no how off of them. Only time I do it is because I just like messing with it, you know. So he brought his dad up. His dad retired Navy, and he brought his dad up to meet me. And no, it wasn't Brother Todd. It almost sounded like that. He brought his dad, and boy, his dad was a real nice man, really nice. Here he was, you know, old enough to be my dad, but he was talking to me real respectful-like and everything, and I thought, my goodness, you know, I'm the one that should be yes, sir, no, sir, not him, you know. I've got others that I've made acquaintance with and that, but I can only go so far with them. They're going to go out and do things that's of the world. Well, I can't take part in that. I've got, from that one friend down there in Columbia, it's introduced me to two other families. They all stay in contact with me. One of them's a police officer down there in Columbia. And I ain't never even been to that place. I'm going to have to rectify that. But, you know, you can only go so far with them. Why? Because they've chose one thing, and I've chose something else. And so the friendship or the acquaintance can only go so far. The point is, you know, you may have some acquaintances of the world, and that, but where you need to have your friends, have your friends where they make friends with those who've made the same choice as you've made. Because that friendship there can only go so far. I'm not telling you don't have it. I'm saying realize it can only go so far. I always tell young people when I talk to them about that, I always say be careful who you choose as your friends. These young people, because they'll either, you know what? Your friends, the people you make your friends or people you associate with, they'll either begin to be influenced by you or you'll begin to be influenced by them. Now, if you begin to be influenced by them and you let that thing, them seed get sowed in your mind, why, then you water that seed with thought, giving thought to it. And over time, that thing begins to take root and sprout. And then you know, that's when mom and dad's really got some problems on their hands then. Be careful who you make your friends. Sometimes, you know, my brother, when he gave his life to the Lord, he told me, he said, well, I've got some really good friends. And I told him, I said, if you want to know whether they're your true friends or not, Samuel, I said, share with them what God's did for you. Share with them what God's did for you. You know, and he, you know, kind of openly lived wrong in front of them while he, He did that. He shared with those of his friends, and some of them said, well, that's good for you, but that's not me. And parted ways, you know. And then there were some that, while they were respectful, and Samuel knows them still yet today, you know. And because he taught school over there where he had went to school at, he became a school teacher over there for some time. And the seeds, I was saying earlier about, we've heard that mentioned about when you sow, whatever you sow, you'll reap. I always in my mind kind of associated that. I always thought about, well, you're sowing bad things, doing wrong things, doing evil, and that's what you're going to end up reaping. But if you're sowing good seed, that's what you're going to reap. My dad raised a garden. And if we went out and sowed seed for yellow corn, why, yellow corn was what was going to come up. If we went out and sowed seed for Silver Queen, well, then that's what was going to come up, was white corn. Whatsoever seed you soweth, see, every seed brings forth of its own kind. Young people, listen to me. Whatever you sow, that seed will bring forth. If you're sowing good things, then you're going to reap those good things. You say, what are you talking about? If you sow obedience to your parents, then you're going to end up reaping out of that a reward. Amen? If you sow disobedience, then you'll reap what that brings. You know what disobedience brings? It brings distrust. Yeah, it'll bring that eventually. That's what I've told my kids. I remember when John was just even a young man. And I'm saying this for a reason. For all, it wasn't just my adopted kids I've said this to. I've said it to them, ones that, John, I told him, I said, look, you don't like having somebody tell you what to do? You don't like having to follow somebody's rules? I said, guess what? Welcome to life. Because you're always going to be following somebody's rules. There'll be a day you'll be out from under dad. Won't be in mom and dad's house no more. You don't have to worry about mom and dad's rules. But if you don't obey the law, you're going to end up in jail. Because you got to obey them rules. And I said, that's why your mom and dad, that's why they try to teach you these things. They don't want you living out there lawless and winding up in jail. I'm closing now. They want to come go ahead and come to the instrument. Nate, come try to get ready to make your way up here. We went out the other night and took a couple of kids, it might have been Friday night, to Sonic. And while we was out there, I had my phone with me, and I very seldom get on Facebook. I got Facebook on there, try to make contacts to sell dogs and stuff. And I got on there reading through some of the posts that were on there. I read this one post, and this fellow was saying that he wanted to say he was sorry. And he said, I want to say I'm sorry to my friend. I want to say I'm sorry to my Bell's bondsman. He said, I want to say I'm sorry to my baby's mama. He says, and oh yeah, lest I forget, I also want to say sorry to my wife. And I thought, you know, here he was trying to make amends or apologies and that. And I don't know what he had to apologize to his Bell bondsman about. I could think of something. But it showed, you know, you don't have a Bell's bondsman unless you need a Bell's bondsman, that's for sure. You have, you know, only way you need one is if you need somebody to bail you out of jail. And so he had a Bell's bondsman, and for some reason he was apologizing to him. And And I thought, you know, young people ain't the way you want to grow up. And you know what? You know how they make comments on them things. And so I went, there was about 9 to 11 comments that was made on there, what he had posted. And I just gave you the first part of it. It was a really long thing he posted on there, what all he was saying. But his mama posted a comment on there, and she said, look at there, didn't I raise my son good? And I thought, my goodness, that's what's wrong with him. No wonder he was saying the things he said. That's where it went wrong. And I thought about the prophet said, he said, it's not juvenile delinquency, it's parent delinquency. And here she was proud of how he was doing and all that. And I thought, well, if he'd been raised right, maybe he wouldn't wind up in jail in the first place. Now, I know you can raise him right. My mom and dad raised my brother right and raised me right. You know, but, you know, I know you can get a rascal come out of there anyhow. You know, and let me just leave it there. I'll end up preaching another message. Lord bless you. And I trust that this coming year, I told somebody, I trust this coming year will be much better than the last. Amen. And I'm looking forward to some things that I want to, it's been brought to my attention, some things I want to make a change. I want to have a regular time we have a fellowship dinner. Well, we have it not just every once in a while, but we can have one a little more regular. And I think it's good, Bill, to come together in fellowship. And so, amen. Happy New Year, and God bless you.
Everyone stand. Sing "So Glad I'm Yours, Lord."
So glad I'm yours.
Jesus, our Lord.